You know, it is written throughout the Word about that great gift He gave. We're not going there, but in Isaiah 53, He lacked nothing. He was certainly had never sinned. And if they delivered Him up, He didn't even open His mouth to defend Himself. Like a lamb led to slaughter, actually. His body took the stripes, and you get the healing. That's what this table of the Lord is about. If you need a healing, this is the time to ask. And our Father loves you for that, for trusting Him and for depending upon Him. So, how did it happen? Let's read about it. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to pick it up with verse 35 for the sake of time. And they crucified Him and parted His garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did cast lots." You know why people doubt the Word? That event happened 1,000 years before this fact. And yet it came to pass exactly as it's written. We'll be going there in a moment to check that out. 36, and sitting down, they watched Him there, just as it is in Psalms 22:17. 37, and set up over His head His accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And actually, He was king not just of the house of Judah, but the whole house of Israel. That was His title. 38, then were there two thieves crucified with Him, and one on the right hand and the other on the left. 39, and they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads. You know, it's people are strange. When somebody's down, they'll really pick on them if they get a chance, if they're ignorant. They don't understand the Lord. They don't have that compassion and that love. If you've ever been on a farm, that's the way chickens do. You get one chicken that gets a wound and the others will chase them, pecking at it and killing them. Sometimes people are that way. Thank God you're not. Thank God God's elect know better than to kick somebody when they're down. But they raise rather people up. And saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Just jeering at Him. And all the time He was paying the price even for them if they repented. Likewise also the chief priests mocked Him with the scribes and the elders, said, 42, "He saved others. Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel," and here He's got it right, see, "let Him now come down from the cross and we will believe Him." Well, if He can just, you know, and you know what's about to happen? 12 noon's going to roll by and it'll be dark till 3 p.m. You would have thought that they would have thought something is wrong. It doesn't get dark at noon, but it did that day. 43, "He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now if He will have Him. For He said, I am the Son of God." And indeed He was. 44, "The thieves also which were crucified with Him cast the same in His teeth." One of those, thank God, would be converted before it was over. 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." That's from noon till 3 p.m. Total darkness. And here they've crucified the Savior. And yet they don't know. The people can be blind, so blind at times. People can be blind today to the Word of God. They add to it, take away from it, for sensationalism and many other things, when it's so much better if they would just stick to the Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and understand what our Father is going to do, His plan, because that's just as sure as this is happening 1,000 years after the fact, 2,000 years later, it will still come to pass as it's written line on line. And you're a part of it. You're living in that generation. Verse 46. In about the ninth hour, about at 3 p.m., Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You'd be surprised how many letters I get from people saying, did God turn his back on Jesus for a moment? You know, that would show the lack of scholarship, because Jesus never called our Father God. He always called him Father, or by title, you see. So what was he doing then? He was quoting a psalm of David, that was foretelling all these things that provide salvation for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, and eternal life. Do you know why he did that? He loves you. He did it out of pure love, that God's elect, chosen in the first earth age, would not have to wait, but would have that salvation already paid for when they deserve it and when they earn it. And he quoted that Psalms. We're going to go there this day. It is the Passover message. It is the message that Christ spoke on the cross. So certainly while he was paying the price, we can take a moment to study those words. I feel he quoted the entire psalm, and I'll explain why at the end of the psalm when we get there. So, verse 1, Psalms 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is converted to English. It's Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? These were not the words of Jesus Christ. They're the words of David. Okay. Oh, my God, verse 2, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. God hears every thought you have if you're one of his election. He knows you. Verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. And certainly he does. For our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them, like parting the Red Sea, feeding them manna in the wilderness, quail aplenty. Verse 5, they cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. That's what happened. You do not want to be confounded in these end times, beloved. That's the definition of Babylon. Babylon is confusion. This is not in a confused world. It's not time for God's elect to be confused. You've got to dig the truth. You've got to take the little book. You've got to read it. You have to work at it with understanding. If you have difficulty understanding, ask him. He's your father. He knows when you need help. But you've got to take the first action and ask him. Ask him for understanding prophecy. Ask him for understanding the world conditions today. And he will give you that light into it that is the light of life, that sets you apart, not better than anyone else, but a helper for everyone else, a servant of the living God. Verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. They treat me as such. 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying. Verse 8, here comes the words of that high priest. Listen to them. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Beloved, that's not an accident. It was written for your edification, so that you would know this word comes to pass exactly as it's written. That gives you all the more faith, or it should, that those passages and the prophecies concerning the end times come to pass exactly as they're written. Not as man might like them to, but as your heavenly Father insists they do, and they will. They shall. Verse 9, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. You loved me from a babe. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Where did they go? They deserted him. When he was crucified and hung on that cross, it wasn't an accident that they all left. Only John himself had to be sent away with Mary, the mother. But there were still a few women over on the hill. They did not run. But all the disciples, they ran. Peter himself even denying him thrice. Beloved, you're not going to. There's going to come a time when you're delivered up that you will. Do you believe this is the Christ or not? Speaking of the Antichrist. What are you going to do? The whole world's whoring after him. And there you stand alone. Though not alone. Because the power of the living God is upon your shoulders. And the Holy Spirit speaks through you. And the truth abounds. In this world, what a time to live. You are so fortunate. You're living now when these things come down. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Seems like there's a lot of power out there against me. And Bashan produced the biggest of the lot. He could still handle it, no problem. 13, they gapped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion. They're just tearing me to pieces. And look at it. Here he was hanging on that cross, the lifeblood from his flesh slipping away, and they're jeering at him when he's paying the price for us and for them. What kind of people have we here? 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of me. They're out of joint because he's nailed to the cross and is pulling his shoulders right out of the socket. Doing it for you so that you have salvation, so that you have freedom. And so it is. 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My mouth is so dry, just like an old piece of broken pottery. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. At the end of the day, I'm there. 16, for dogs, that's to say the enemy, have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked hath enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They nailed him to that cross. I tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. You understand he did this for you. Okay. Should make you appreciate it all the more that he was even thinking of you while he was doing this. The last verses will document that. They part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. How would those Roman soldiers know that the scriptures predicted they would do that 1,000 years before? They didn't, but God did. And he prevailed upon them. That they would do this to fulfill this scripture. So what? So that you would know God's word comes to pass exactly as it's written. Don't you ever dare doubt it. When you properly translate it, when you properly eat the little book, when you absorb it, and with his blessings understand, that's how it's going to happen. Don't ever let some man take that away from you and confuse you. But be not far from me, O Lord, my strength has thee to help me. And he always will. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. The darling is soul also. I don't know why it was translated that way. From the enemy. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. No such thing as a unicorn. The Hebrew is very specific. It's wild ox. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? Do you know where that verse is written in the New Testament? It's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, which gives the whole purpose of why he's doing this. And you're supposed to tell it to the congregation that he came to this earth, our Father, no better than you, showing you he can cut it. He was crucified on the cross for a purpose, effect, with a cause. And that is to defeat death, which is to say the devil, and give you eternal life and destroy Satan that causes all the problems. That's why he did it. You see, Satan is also God's child. He created him. He's got to kill him. It takes a lot to kill a child, even a bad one. But when he does it to you, it's open season, ready to go. That's what it's all about. 4:23, as far as Satan is concerned. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, fear him. All ye the seed of Israel, whether adopted in or otherwise. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. Every little prayer you ever give, God hears it. He will answer it as it is best for you. Not what you want, but what is best for you in your service to him. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied, and they shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. The meek is the humble, those that have compassion for our brethren that know not the truth, that do what they do to try to plant seeds, to bring in, if you would, the lost into the truth that they might hear. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. First day of the millennium, every knee shall bow, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, there's no doubt about it, and he is the governor among the nations. There's only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's it. 29, all they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship, and all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. You cannot work out your own salvation. You need him. That's why he paid this price, so that you could be touched and lifted and understand with compassion and love in a confused world, and be blessed with the hand of Almighty God upon you. Here's why he remembered you, God's election. Listen to it carefully. His last words on the cross about you, absorb it. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. That is to say, God's elect, the fig tree generation, the last that would be when that time would come. Verse 31, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Now, I want to give you a little clue. In John chapter 19, verse 30, his last words on the cross, it is finished, which this is the Hebrew equivalent, that he hath done this. It's done. It's finished. And he paid that price. He didn't hold back. Don't you ever hold back on him. Don't you ever say, well, maybe I'll wait till tomorrow. He didn't say that when they nailed him to the cross. Let's get it on. He was paying the price for you, that you could have that help, that communion, that washing away of sins, for many of us fall short. And his blood, which this wine is actually symbolizes, washes away sin. I mean, it gets rid of it. It stomps it, just like he's going, get rid of Satan. Gets rid of your sins when you repent and let him know that you love him.